Now, to introduce tonight's speaker is Willie. I believe it's Willie, yes?
Yes, that's right.
Willie.
Okay, you got me? Can you hear me?
Yep.
All righty. Hey, everybody. Hello to all the cake takers. And what a good place for you to be and good place to get started. Just speaking of starting, many years ago, I started my program down in the Wilshire and Hollywood area, and then I moved to the Valley. And it was during those times I met our tonight speaker, Kay, and she used to hang, be part of another good group of men, good friend of mine, Marjorie, who has passed away here a while back. And Kay has always had a program that I always, adored and respected. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you guys, guys and girls at 7 o'clock. Let's rock. Kay, KL.
Thank you so much, Willie. I'm so glad, just happy to see your big smile there and your little squint. Hi, everyone. I'm Kay. I want to thank Eric for asking me to be here tonight through Jack, who had recommended me. I've known Jack for more decades than I probably care to would either of us care to admit. I want to welcome the newcomer, Terrell. I want you to know that if you don't identify with anything that I may say tonight, please don't judge Alan solely by me. We recommend at least six meetings, and I really hope you keep coming back. This is a wonderful place to be if someone's drinking or sobriety is a problem for you. I want to wish all the birthday people happy birthday. Wow, I love birthday nights. It's always so positive to me. It amazes me. In 51 years, whoa, you don't look like you could have 51 years, I can tell you. Okay. Oh, and real quick, I want to say one of the things I love about Zoom, this is for all the people who have dogs sitting in their laps. I'm so happy that your dogs are sitting in your laps. I'm a dog person. And one of the advantages of Zoom to me is being able to have dogs and Al-Anon meetings. Okay, I keep thinking I'm going to start, with something different and creative in my sharing because of people that have heard me before, and I don't want to bore them, but I really can't. I always start and end the same way. My original sponsor, who Willie referred to, was a woman named Marjorie. She was my sponsor for the first 18 years in this program, and she always started by saying, "I'm here because I love an alcoholic." And I have to start by saying, I wish it was only one. I love alcoholics, and they seem to like me pretty well also. I believe that Al-Anon is a 12-step program. It's not a group therapy session. Also, I just want everyone to know anything I say is just completely from my own perspective. Certainly, people can disagree with my thoughts and things that I may say, but that's one of the gifts of Al-Anon is we get to interpret this program in the way that suits us and helps us grow. I believe it's a 12-step program. As I said, not a group therapy session. I'm going to give you a little capsulized version of the steps. Make it easy. 1, 2, 3, give up. 4, 5, 6, own up. 7, 8, 9, make up. 10, 11, 12, grow up. And I didn't make that up, by the way. It was on a bookmark I got at a convention, and I just loved it. And I've been here for decades, and I'd never heard that before. So now I'm sharing it with everybody that's willing to listen. A little bit of my past. My father was the first person in my life who. Here's something I try. I'm not always successful at it. I try not to call someone else or an alcoholic. I believe it's up to an individual to lay put that label on themselves. I joke about it. I've tried many times to convince people that they are and that they need my help to get better. But until someone acknowledges that on their own, I learned a long time ago, there's just nothing that I can do. And I'm not stupid, and I'm pretty crafty, you know, and I've tried everything that I can think of, but people either come to that or they don't. My father never came to that. He believed he wasn't an alcoholic because he really didn't start drinking, supposedly, until the sun went down. I always joke that on Daylight Savings Day was like the worst day of his life because it added an extra hour of daylight. And it just was so difficult for him. And then, of course, there was that one time, only the one time, of course, that he was arrested for drunk driving at like noon. And it was during the days, and he was thrown in jail, and it was during the days there were no ATMs or anything like that. And I remember being so panic-stricken. It was on a Friday, so he was going to be there over the week. I was so panic-stricken and so worried about him. And my mother, oddly enough, was just, you know, la, 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 la for the weekend. You know, it's the first weekend she'd had in decades where she didn't, I think, she was able to take a break from my father's drinking, and it made her very happy. It made me very anxious. I was so worried about him. You know, that started a pattern for me. You know, it's important for me to say this. My father was a wonderful man who suffered from a disease that made him behave very badly. And Al-Anon has guided me onto a path of compassion for my father I never had. With working the steps in Al-Anon and the fellowship in Al-Anon and our readings, I was able ultimately, because I was very angry at my dad, he was not good to me in a number of ways. There was one night, and I share about this only so that you all know I know what it's like, you know, he got drunk and he came after me with a knife, and I ran next door and I tried, you know, I banged on, my mom was screaming, get out of the house, get out of the house. And the cops were called, and it turned out he knew them. And shortly after that, they were all laughing and in the street, my dad and the cops, and I'm hovering in the ivy, you know, thinking maybe they'll help, maybe they can help solve this problem in my home. And I'm an only child, so I got the brunt of that behavior. And you know, we talk about this, our secrets. No one ever mentioned that night again until I'd been in Al-Anon for like 5 years. I think I talked about it with a good friend of mine, and she said, you need to tell your sponsor that. I was humiliated by that story. I thought that I had caused that behavior. I thought that I was such a bad kid that I had made my dad treat me the way that he treated me. What I know today, I am not an AA. I go to open AA meetings because it was important for me, and I was told to attend open AA meetings to start to try and understand the alcoholics in my life, because I just didn't get it. I didn't understand how someone could treat someone they love so badly. What I know today is that he's, as I said, he was a wonderful man who suffered from a very bad disease. And I think about him today, and I think how difficult it must have been for him to live in his head and in his skin, and how regretful he always was for his bad behavior. But he didn't change it because he didn't know how. I have the gift of Al-Anon to help me change my behavior and not keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. I know that because of the relationship with my dad, I went out in the world, I started collecting alcoholics. I couldn't get enough of them. My drug of choice in other people was heroin and combined with alcohol. I mean, if you were a heroin addict, I could spot you a mile away and you were mine, you know. And I talk about this, you know. One of my favorite lies before I came to Al-Anon was, well, two things. What do you think? Which I love. And Kay, I need your help. I love that. And I describe it, you know, the cape would unfurl and the big ass would pop out of my chest and I would be off and running, you know, and I couldn't have been happier because I couldn't solve this problem in my home. So I tried for decades to solve it in other people until finally I was brought to my knees. There were times I couldn't even be at home. My parents would send me to other people's houses and they'd sit around the table and have dinner. And I remember one night asking the woman, Mrs. Mills, and I said, you know, like the third night and we're sitting at the dinner table. And I said, you know, Mrs. Mills, you don't have to keep doing this. And she said, what? And I said, eating, all of you eating at the table together. And she said, well, we do this every night. And that's kind of one of the first times that I realized how different my family was from other people, which made me my train of thought. I'm sorry, I got distracted there. Anyway, the point is that I felt that what was happening in my family was something that had to be kept secret. And I did keep it secret. I'm a loner by nature, not an isolator, a loner. I love spending time alone. I'm an only child, as I said. I spent hours and hours alone. I was okay with that. So I go out into the world. I start collecting alcoholics. My best friend, heroin addict, alcoholic, came to my house and wanted to try and quit. And I said, you know, okay, I can help you with that. I know nothing about this disease. I don't have it. But sure enough, I told her, I can handle this. I can fix this for you. I can do this. And there were a couple of rules. She broke all of them. You know, the first rule, no lying. I don't know any of you can relate to this. It still makes me laugh because I said it in all sincerity. Now, no lying. And she said, okay, you know, I said, you come home every night. And she said, okay. And I said, no drugs or alcohol in the house. And she said, okay. And I said, all right. And in return, what I'll do for you is I'll make you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'll clean the house. You need a job, I'll find you one. I'll start you a bank account because someday you'll want to get an apartment of your own. You'll need first and last rent. I'll help you with that. You know, and she said, of course, okay, who'd say no to that? And there I was off and running, couldn't have been happier. And then she disappeared one weekend. And I was so angry, you know, she broke the rules. This is before I had any compassion for people who suffered from this disease. I thought, how hard can this be? Three simple rules, how hard? I didn't even realize because I had no comprehension of what it was like to have this that disease, how difficult it was for the people who I knew in my life who suffered from it. And suffer is a good word because they were suffering. And so I kicked her out in a great deal of anger. I kicked her out of the house. No kindness, no compassion whatsoever. And that night she killed herself. And for decades, I blamed myself. What I learned in Al-Anon is that I do not have that kind of power. I do not have the power of life and death over other human beings. We have, you know, in understanding ourselves, some of us are arrogant, smug, self-righteous, and dominating. I was so arrogant and self-righteous that I believed I had that kind of power over other people. Al-Anon, in a kind and gentle way, showed me that that just simply isn't the case. You know, I carried on, I'll get quickly to my recovery. When I first came to Al-Anon, I did not come here because I thought I needed Al-Anon. I got a call from a friend of mine, fortunately, right while I was checking another friend of mine into a psych ward, you know, because of his drinking and trashed his apartment. And she called me while I was cleaning up his place because God forbid he saw the mess when he got out of county general. And she called me and said, my husband's drinking is bothering me. And I said, you know, there's this place called Al-Anon. I think you need to go to a meeting. And I said, I'll make some calls. I'll find a meeting and I'll take you to a meeting. And I did. And I walked into the meeting. There were these people called greeters who wanted to hug me as I came into the room. Oh my goodness, I did not want that. because remember, I wasn't there for me. I was, they can hug her, but not me. And I sat in that room and I was obsessed with how she was doing. And a couple of things happened while I was sitting in that room. The first thing, not a great thing, was the woman who was leading the meeting had 10 years. And I thought, what in the hell is she still doing here? And why is she, this is a good thing to say on birthday night. And why is she bragging about 10 years? You know, there's only so many books to read and only 12 steps, not, you know, 2,400 steps. And I thought, why did they pick her to represent them? You know, I'm glad I kept coming back. I think I kept, because I did nothing but pass judgment and focus on my friend, you know, did you hear that? Write that down. That was good. Don't, you know, remember that. That was funny. You know, that was a good thing to say. And I don't know. She never came back. And I have not left since then. And in April, that was 35 years ago. And I look back and I say that not because I'm bragging about it, but because it blows my mind that that was 35 years ago. It's amazing to me that I have stayed here in one way, and in another way, I can't imagine not ever being a member of this program. I'm now have more than three times the amount of that poor woman that I was criticizing for having 10 years. I feel I've grown in a lot of ways. One thing that has not changed for me, I'm going to get to my recovery in this program, is I tried for years to change my first thought. I tried for years to work this program perfectly. And I would beat myself up and I would get very angry and very upset with myself and disappointed in myself if certain first reactions kept coming, still were coming to me. And one day I said to myself, you know, I think the bottom line here is I am powerless over my first thought to this day. No matter how long I'm in Al-Anon, no matter how hard or how well or how diligently I work this program, I may be powerless over my first thought for the rest of my life. But what I'm not powerless over is the thought or the action that follows. And Al-Anon has given me, I came here with no tools. I mean, I had one tool, I joke about this, I had a sledgehammer. That's the only tool I had, you know. And Al-Anon has given me a bunch of tools. And I today have a completely full toolbox. There isn't a problem that arises in my life that there isn't an Al-Anon tool that will help me get on the other side of it. I will say that one of the things that was difficult, which I still have to work on, and it's for me, it was one of the side effects of being raised in an alcoholic home, was my perception of the world was very messed up. And this was brought to light for me about 4 years ago. 5 years ago, I was cleaning. I used to take great pride in telling a story about a sixth grade science teacher I had, Mr. de Mombin, and how he had written in my yearbook, because I'm not very tall, I'm like 5'2½". He had written in my yearbook, "Kay, you are a perfect example that good things do not always come in small packages." And I thought, whoa. And I remember reading it, and I told a number of people that story. You know, can you believe he said that to me? You know, I found the yearbook when I was going through one of our little sheds, and I opened it up, and I opened it to where Mr. de Mombin had written it. And what it actually said was, "Dear Kay, you are a perfect example that good things always come in small packages, not do not. Always." That's how skewed my thinking was. That's how messed up that's what living in alcoholism had done to my way of viewing myself. Al-Anon has helped me to see more clearly what actually was happening and what the effects of someone else's drinking had on me, which then gave me the ability to start changing those things and those ways of thinking. You know, I always believe in AA, you get sobriety, and Al-Anon, you get serenity. One of my greatest gifts in Al-Anon is the serenity that I have on a daily basis. Serenity does not mean a life without challenges for me. It just means being able to walk through those challenges with some form of serenity. You know, the problem with serenity for me is that it's intangible, you know, and so I have to work hard at not just getting it, but maintaining it. It's not some, you know, it's not a pen or a cup or something you can wrap your hands around or a piece of paper that you can read. It's in my head and in my heart, and working a very strong Al-Anon program helps me connect to that serenity and almost always have it in my life. And if I lose it, I have so many tools how to get it back really fast. You know, I don't like not having serenity in my life today. You never know where you're going to hear the message in this program. I've learned I had a very hard time financially at one point in my life, and the Shell credit card I had was declined, and you know, it goes through that, what it goes through, and ultimately they called and said, you better pay, and I said, I'm really sorry, I'm trying, I'm doing everything, and she was really rude to me, the woman from the Shell company, and ended up hanging up on me, and a couple months later, another woman calls me, and I, the way she said, hi, is this K so-and-so, I said, I knew it was the bill collector. And she said, I'm calling about the Shell card. I said, I know, and I'm sorry. I'm really trying to pay. This is a hard time. I'm doing everything I can. And then I stopped and I said, you know what? This really isn't your problem. I know why you're calling and I understand. And all I can say is I'll do everything I can to pay this bill. And she said, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, sure. And she said, how are you handling this? I thought, wow, why would a bill collector, you know? But there was something familiar in her tone of voice and in the way she asked that question. And I paused and I said, well, I'm just taking it a day at a time. And she went, aha, I also take it a day at a time. And I went, are you a friend of Bill's? You know, which is, for those who may not know, if someone's an AA. And she said, yes, and you? And I said, actually, I'm a friend of Bill's wife. And she said, I just am going to tell you, don't worry, this too shall pass. Everything is going to be okay. And I thought, I mean, from a bill collector is giving me, you know, 12-step stuff, you know, you never know where you're going to get the message from. And I will never forget that woman. And she's right. It did pass. Everything passes. Life is cyclical. You know, good happens, bad happens. Good happens, bad happens. I know today that it's important for me to maintain humility. And for me, the definition, a basic definition of humility is remaining teachable. You know, one of my problems was I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew everything and how to fix everybody, except for me, of course. I couldn't fix myself. But then at that time, I didn't think I needed to be fixed. It was always someone else's fault. Today, I know that, you know, I was broke. I became broken growing up in that situation. And in my life, made a number of choices. I married someone who was an alcoholic who ultimately died from complete organ failure of every organ in his body from his drinking. I've lost a number of friends who haven't survived their alcoholism, whether it was behind the wheel of a car or taking their own lives or just drinking themselves to death. You know, without help, that disease ends, you know, in three ways, you know, insanity, prison, or death, you know. My program for me, I'm not going to die, I don't think, if I don't work my program. But what will happen is I'm going to miss the joy of living that this program has given me. when I work this program, I find, in fact, there's a line in From Survival to Recovery. It talks about how this program, you know, gives us, I'm paraphrasing, you know, restores us to wonder. I had lost my wonder. I had lost that in my life. It's like the shine on my life had been buffed away. And today I have it back. I've learned that communicating, you say it once, you're communicating, you say it twice, you're trying to convince. And that was me. You know, I also, Marjorie, one of the first things Marjorie said to me was, the first thing you have to ask yourself, Kay, is there a question mark at the end of that sentence? And what she meant by that was, I'd say, so how are you? They tell me, and I would immediately start telling them how to fix what was going on with them when no one had asked me to fix them. No one had asked that of me. And now I've gotten so good at it that I'll say, do you want to hear my thoughts on that? I just would blah, you know, and tell people what I was thinking and what they should do. Now I gently say, you know, I have a thought about that. Do you want to hear it? And I can honestly tell you, if they say no, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I go, okay, I'm totally cool with it now. I know that unsolicited advice can be criticism. I don't want to be criticizing the people that I love. I thought I was helping people in the way I was behaving all the time. You know, I learned, okay, some of you know this, and I feel kind of weird. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it, but it's such an important part of my life. We lost our house in the Woolsey fire. And one of my greatest fears, other than losing family members and people I love and my dog, was my house burning down. Now, I grew up in Van Nuys, not a lot of wildfires in Van Nuys, California. But that was a fear of mine. And I thought, if that ever happened to me, I would not be able to survive. It happened. I survived. And I survived because I'm a member of Al-Anon. When we were evacuating, I was the secretary of the meeting. I grabbed the secretary's book. I grabbed my One Day at a Time and Courage to Change, and how I grabbed a couple of my Al-Anon books. I threw them in the car. I'm very fond of saying, which I'll get to later, the God of my understanding. I'm very fond of saying that the God of my understanding does not find me parking spots. I share about that all the time. You know, he doesn't get me jobs. He doesn't get boyfriends to behave well. He doesn't, you know, that's just for me, because the God of my understanding, and again, I'll get more into this later, is on a spiritual path, this is just me, not on a material plane. So I grab all these books, I get in the car, and we all evacuated to the parking lot in Zuma Beach. And I pull, and there's hundreds of people there. And I pull into the parking lot right next door to a regular member of my Saturday morning Al-Anon meeting. And she got out of the car and came over to me and said, oh my God, Kay, you know, we were both crying, and it's thick black smoke and ashes are falling. We're watching across Pacific Coast Highway is 60-foot flames. We know our houses are gone, and we're all just trying to help each other. And she looked at me and said, will you pray with me? And I said, of course I will. I said, but I also have Courage to Change in One Day at a Time. And I can't, I wish I had written this down before the meeting, but on that day of the fire, the first line, I think it was in Odette, it said something about situations, difficult situations, and that difficult situations can work out. I mean, it was so dead on for what was happening at that moment to us. And I was sharing about the God of my understanding doesn't find me parking spots at a convention once, and someone came up to me very sweetly afterwards and said, you said he doesn't find you parking spots, but then you tell this story about pulling into this parking lot next to an Al-Anon member. And I said, you're right. I have to revise that. So the God of my understanding may not get me jobs and may not, you know, make the tumor benign, but he certainly so far does find me parking spots. I had a lot of struggle. This struggle still goes on with the house burning down. the city closing and taking so long to get the permits. We just broke ground this week. It's been 2.5 years. It has been a nightmare. Thank you. We're so happy. Although, of course, now I'm worried that I'm going to do it wrong and it'll be an ugly house. And, and everyone keeps saying, oh, well, this is an opportunity. You can build your dream house. I never wanted to build a dream house. I was happy in the house that I had. I'm an only child, so I can't turn to siblings and say, can I have half of mom's wedding china? It's all gone. It's just all gone. But what isn't gone, what never can be gone, is the love and support I get from this program. And to our newcomer, I cannot emphasize that enough for you. If you ever go through times where you feel alone and scared, I learned in this program, I will never go homeless. I will never go hungry. I will always be hugged and I will always be held. And the way the members of this program rallied around me, I refer to Al-Anon as my bridge over troubled waters. And boy, the bridge that was built over those troubled waters by the members of this program is unbelievable to me. I still am astounded at the outpouring of love and support that people, I lost all my Christmas stuff. I'm a big Christmas person. I'm almost 70, collecting Christmas stuff for family members, that I've had for 100 years and just in my own lifetime. They got together, all these people, and bought me Christmas ornaments. And it makes me emotional just thinking about that people just got on the phone and just said, okay, what can we do? This is what we can do. And without hesitation, people just surrounded me with love and kept my head above water, and still are. I try today to let God interpret for me. Sometimes my thinking is still a wee bit skewed. My reactions maybe are knee-jerk reactions. I work on that. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm a work in progress here. But I know that if I do what those who have come before me have done, people will say to me, and it's very sweet, and I'm not being, falsely humble about this. I mean this. People say, oh, you're so wise. I'm not wise. The people who came before me are wise. I'm only repeating what those who have come before me have taught me, have told me, have shared with me. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not the founder of Al-Anon. I only carry the message from those who have come before me. I am always, always, always under the care of a loving God. The God of my understanding when I first came here was tenuous at best. I didn't think he liked me. I thought he thought I was a bad kid and caused my dad's unhappiness and his drinking. And if I was a better friend, Robin wouldn't have killed herself. Jimmy Orlebeck wouldn't have killed himself. And all these people, if I was better at being a good person, I could have saved all these people. So I didn't think he liked me very much. So although I believed in him, I didn't think he believed in me. So that was difficult when I first came in. And there was a lot of God talk, but I just kept coming. And ultimately, I came to an understanding of a higher power that has morphed over the years. Where it is today, it took a lot to get, and maybe it'll continue morphing, although I'm pretty happy with how it is now. The God of my understanding, yes, does find me Parkinson's, but doesn't make the tumor benign, doesn't get me jobs, doesn't solve my money problems. But he does give me everything I need to get through those problems, as long as I maintain my connection with Al-Anon. That is my artery. My main artery is between me and my 12-step program. And if there's any damage to that artery, I will be the one who loses out. I need to keep that healthy and functioning and thriving. And the way I do it is regularly attending meetings and talking to people and doing my readings. I used to be very critical. One of Marjorie's favorite pages, April 1st, in One Day at a Time, it's the content, well-adjusted person need not find fault with others. I read that and I went, wow. And you know what? That's true. Because when I'm happy, I don't find the need to criticize people. So if I'm criticizing or even having critical thoughts, I stop and I say, okay, what's causing that? What's really going on here? And I address that in my 12-step program. I do the same when others may not be behaving the way I want them to behave, or if someone else is crabby or a little short-tempered or whatever. I think I try to look beyond. Al-Anon has taught me to look beyond what's on the surface and what may be behind that. And when I do that, I immediately come to a place of compassion. And when I am in a compassionate mindset, I am a kinder human being. My goal is to lead with kindness. There's a line in one of our books that says the highest form of wisdom is kindness. And Al-Anon gave me that path to compassion, not just with AAs, but sometimes I, believe it or not, have issues with Al-Anon members. And I have to say, okay, what's either going on with me that I'm feel the need to have that judgment in my head, or what is going on with them that's making them behave in a way that I find troublesome? Every single time, if I just pause for a second, I will find my way to compassion and kindness. I never was able to do that before I came to these rooms. It's just amazing to me. I try not to dwell in the past. I don't want to define myself today by what happened to me in the past. Another line, the past is not a harbor, it's a lighthouse. It can shine the way for me out. I don't want to live in my past anymore. I want to thrive in the day that I have today. This fire thing, as I said, has just been a nightmare in so many ways. We hired an architect, extremely talented, practicing alcoholic. Of course, who would I pick? And we knew him. We knew that. We knew what we were getting into. But it had been a long time since I'd had active alcoholism in my life. And boy, did that put my program into first gear again. I just really had to kick it up a notch. He's quit twice on us, you know, in a drunken stupor. And I had to get back to Al-Anon 101, you know, and I'm glad that I had to get back to Al-Anon 101. I work steps 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, and 12. I try almost on a daily basis because I need to do that. I continually have to keep giving it over. It's not something I did once. Nope, done. Okay, don't have to worry about that. I have to do it all the time. Some days, 40 times in a day. I say the Serenity Prayer a lot. I learned in this program that the alcoholic was not the source of my pain. The source of my pain was my attitude. And when Al-Anon gave me a way to adjust my attitude for the better, my pain and my anguish and my discomfort in the world started to ease up. I call that magic. I think this is a magic program. It's a magic program that has steps. You take those steps and magic will happen. I love in the 12th step how it says, you know, having had a spiritual awakening. It doesn't say you might have, for those of you who are lucky enough to have. It says having had. To me, that's a promise. So if you work those steps and you get to the 12th step, you will have had a spiritual awakening. That's exactly what happened to me. I am always connected to my higher power today. I am never unconnected. It's the first place I go when I am having problems. I hit my knees sometimes. Sometimes I get into elaborate, lengthy, you know, conversations with my higher power. Sometimes I just say, help. It depends on the scenario. And I always get the help. I've met incredible people in this program that I trust with my deepest, darkest secrets, who don't judge me, who don't criticize me, who know. This is something so amazing to me. I always thought I was the only one who was feeling what I was feeling. I belong to a group of people. We all have different jobs, we're different ages, different sexes, live in different cities, different countries. But we have one thing in common, and it's the only thing we really talk about when we're in, at least I have been taught to talk about in program, is the one thing we have in common and how someone else's drinking or using has affected us. And though our circumstances in that description may be different, what my personal experience has been is that the feelings are always the same. There, everyone in this room, I bet I could tell a story to, and you will know exactly what I was feeling when that happened to me. Where else? We're so lucky. I am so lucky that my father had a problem with alcohol, because otherwise I wouldn't have a seat in these rooms. I'm trying to think. I don't know what my time frame is. Do we know? Can someone give me an idea of how much time I have left? And
you have until 8:25.
And I don't have a watch. So what time is it?
21 minutes.
I have 21 minutes left?
Yep.
Okay. Usually I don't have a problem with that. I can just talk till you're ready to go to sleep, but let's see, what else can I talk about? Okay, let's talk. Maybe I can talk a little bit about self-care. That was hard for me when I came in, self-care. One of the first things that I kind of worked out for myself was in making my amends list, it became very popular to put yourself on the amends list. And I think that's fabulous. If people want to do it, I encourage, you know, I don't judge what anybody wants to do. But amends in the dictionary means to change, you know, the behavior. And apology means to say you're sorry, and amends means to change. And the first step I took into an Al-Anon room was me making amends to myself, because it was my first step into changing my behavior and my views, my thoughts, and the way I not only walked in the world, but how I saw the world. It just started to change. So for me, self-care is maintaining my Al-Anon program. Yes, we should go to the dentist, and yes, have your physical, and it's good to exercise and eat well. But the most important thing I can do for myself is maintain my connection to this program. You know, if someone does something for me, if I do something nice for someone, it's because I love them. But I still have trouble if someone does something nice for me. But I have to realize, how is that any different, you know, than me? If I'm doing something nice for someone, it's because I care for them. So it's still difficult a little bit, but letting people be good to me, be kind to me, is still a little tricky. But that's part of self-care for me today, in my opinion. Footwork, prayer to me is footwork. I can pray, but I have to, as I said earlier, I try to let God, you know, I'll say this, the God of my understanding in figuring out has qualities. It's kind, wise, patient, tolerant, has a sense of humor, has a time frame, unfortunately, that's not always in alignment with mine, but that's okay, because it always does work out. But all of those qualities that the higher power of my understanding have, are all qualities that I, as a human being, can have. So what I try to do is I try to behave in the way I think my higher power would like me to behave. In that process means being patient, tolerant, considerate, kind, loving, respectful. It's been a long time since I've spoken for this long, so I'm trying to think, you know, what else I could talk about. One thing I used to do is I would wait for the other shoe to drop. I was constantly living in fear of what was going to happen. Another line in our readings at the bottom, I can't remember the page number. For some reason, I want to say August 12th, but I could be wrong. It says, some of your hurts you have cured and the sharpest you've even survived. But what torments of grief you've endured from pain that never arrived. That was me. You know, I was always waiting for something bad to happen. And if something good happened, I was afraid to enjoy it because I knew it was going to be taken away. What I know, as I said earlier today, is life is cyclical. The good doesn't last forever and the bad doesn't last forever. It keeps cycling back, though. In this house, the Rebuilding House Project, one of my struggles is the neighbors has really put my program to task. A couple of our neighbors are behaving badly. And one of them did something bad, came onto our lot, and we had planted these hedges because all the fences and all the trees and everything were gone. And we planted these hedges. And he, after yelling at us for our workers standing on his property, he came 2 days later onto our property and cut seven of our, we lost 31 trees. So we planted this hedge of ficus trees and they were getting really tall. And he came and he cut seven or eight of them in half. I couldn't prove that he had done it, but what I did immediately, I knew who else would have done it. I prayed for him, which is something I learned to do in Al-Anon. I didn't like it when Marjorie first told me to pray for someone I was having trouble with, but I know that when I do that, again, I find my way to compassion. And I started praying for him and I meant it. I still was mad at him, but I meant it. I didn't take an action. I've learned in Al-Anon, just wait. Sometimes I gotta just wait. So I waited and I said to Mark, I said, you know, when I go up to the property, if he's there, I'll just wave and get in the car and leave because I'm this far from unleashing on him and I don't want to do that. And I didn't have to do any of that because in the time that I was waiting, he found his way to a place to apologize. And he sent a text and apologized for yelling and for vandalizing our property. And I thanked God for that. I felt a relief because I was so scared I was going to be moving into a place where I was going to hate the neighbor. But what I was reminded of is I wasn't the only one who lost my house. Our neighborhood was the hardest hit and everyone there lost their houses. Everyone there is dealing with something. And it's my job to represent my 12-step program in a way that's positive and to find compassion, even for those who don't treat me well. It's imperative for my serenity to find my way to compassion and understanding. Let's see, you know, self-awareness, that's a biggie for me. Is becoming self-aware at first was pretty painful. I mean, big, ouch. I was like, oh God, I do that, that's terrible. But it wasn't until I became self-aware that I was able to make the changes I needed to make to not say, ouch, or, ugh, you know, what a bad person you are. Self-awareness to me today is liberating, you know, because it gives me, I can look at what, you know, the fourth step for me is getting rid of the things that separate me from my higher power, fear, guilt, shame, and resentment. And as long as I'm shameful and have fear and any guilt, it does keep me from my higher power. I need to connect with my higher power in order to have the joy I have in my life and the ease. I'm not always, you know, bouncing up and down joyful, but there's an ease to my life today because of this 12-step program that I never had. I was burdened with those, that shame, guilt, fear, and resentment. It was so heavy. I don't have that anymore. I leap to make amends today because I don't want to carry that stuff with me anymore. You know, they talk in Al-Anon, this is my little gift to y'all. You know, we talk about peeling away the layers of the onion. You know, I'm going to give you another vegetable for this analogy, the artichoke, because the onion, you peel the layers of the onion, though I get the metaphor, but at the end you have nothing, no onion even. But when you peel the layers of an artichoke, what are you getting to? You're getting to the heart. That's what Al-Anon has given me. It's pulled the leaves off my artichoke and gotten to my heart and shown me that it's okay to expose my heart. It's okay for me to let people in on the pain that I may be feeling, the confusion, the fear. When I do something that I'm ashamed of doing, I can tell a member of Al-Anon, and 90% of the time they go, oh, I've done that a million times. You know what I mean? It really isn't so unusual. I used to think it was so unusual. I'm really not that unusual. I'm trying to think, you know, about, oh, I know what I'll tell you about. My relationship. I told you I was married. That didn't last. And I had a sponsee who put it this way. He said, I've been in a relationship for, you know, 15, 20 years, 15 or 20 different girls, but the same relationship. Well, that's kind of what it was like for me. I kept picking people, hoping that they would become who I believed they could be. And I found success when I picked someone who was what I wanted, who already was, it embodied the things that I wanted in a relationship. And before him, other than my marriage, and I had a 4-year relationship with somebody in 4 years in high school or something. Most of my relationships were like a year long. In August, we will have been together 21 years. And to me, I was not the girl that would have a 20-year relationship. I am so in love with this man. I'm crazy for him. He brings out the best in me with Al-Anon. Those two things in my life make me a better person. Because I have this program, I think is the reason that our relationship has lasted this long, because it's taught me how to have a healthy relationship, how to take personal responsibility when I'm wrong, promptly admit it, how to be, we call it handling each other with care. And that's what we do. And sometimes I'm not in the mood, in all honesty, to do that. But I still try to do it, because that's the success of our relationship to me is again, to lead with kind, to be kind to one another, understanding, considerate. You know, we talk about things in this program. There's in Japanese pottery, we talk about coming in here being broken. And for me, it took a lot of years for me to put those broken pieces back into a form that I could be proud of as a human being, and proud of how I walked in the world. In Japanese pottery, there's a term, it's called kintsukuri. And what it means is more beautiful for having been broken. And in Japan, when the pottery is broken, they put it back together, and the broken pieces are put together with gold. They highlight the brokenness of it, because they believe the fact that it was broken has now made it more beautiful. That's what Al-Anon has given to me. That's what Al-Anon has done to me. I'm not, like when I came in here, someone who was so damaged and couldn't recover. I am a piece of me is that. But the bigger piece of me is the recovery that I found in this program, and given me a life that I could never have imagined. Doesn't look at all like what I thought it would look like. It's better. It's just better. It's only better because Al-Anon has given me a way to change my perception and view the world in a positive way, which was not what I did when I came here. I was very negative, very negative. I still get negative, but today I'm pretty positive. I am going to kind of wrap it up because I don't want to babble about things that, you know, are not necessarily of value to me, let alone you. But I always close in the same way. And again, excuse me, as you can tell from my share, my connection to my higher power is so important to me. And it's the greatest gift I have gotten from this program is that connection. Again, it's not religious. It is spiritual only, on a spiritual plane, not a material plane. But it didn't start to work for me, this program, until I started to let go of my old ways and try something new. I was not the perfect Al-Anon, I have to tell you, when I started. I'm still not. But there's a poem. I close with this poem. I've been closing with this poem since the first meeting I led, you know, whenever that was, over 30 years ago. And it goes like this. Just as the child brings his broken toys with tears from me to men, I took my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then, instead of leaving him at peace to work alone, I stuck around and tried to help with ways that were my own. And when at last I cried, "How can you be so slow?" He said, "My child, what could I do? You never did let go." Now, I happen to believe that even if I don't let go, the God of my understanding is still in my life. But when I let go, I notice he's there. And on that note, I couldn't have the life I have without people like you. Every single one of you in this room today has in some way contributed to the glory of my life, the joy, the wonder that I have in my life today. And for that, I will be eternally grateful to you. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.